Amen. It's good to see all of you here tonight. I'm glad that you're all here. Good to have visitors with us tonight. And we're so thankful that the Lord has allowed us another opportunity to be here in the house of God. Just one thing I want to mention is Brother C.G. Vickers passed away this past week. His funeral's tomorrow morning. 10 o'clock is the viewing. And 10 to 12, and funeral's at 12. The burial's at 12. First Baptist of Kinsville. And Pastor Vickers, pastor, Evergreen Baptist, Missionary Baptist Church that was started out of Lock Haven many years ago. Brother Dave, you know when that was started, Brother Sister Barbara? His brother, about 48 years ago. Pastor for a long time. Brother Chris and Sister Amanda, very familiar with the church. And got down to a small flock. So I'm not sure that Miss Vickers is prepared for what has just happened. I know she'll probably have some Social Security or something, but I don't know what all's going to take place. But if we could, I'd like to get a couple of men, take Brother Mike, if you and Brother Douglas get an offering plate. And if you got something you'd like to give, help Miss Vickers. We'll deliver it to her tomorrow. Before we come, I also like the church, if we could, whatever we take up tonight, could we match it from the general fund? That'd be all right with you guys. Amen. You okay with it, Brother Bill?
Yes, sir. I didn't know if you were asking for a motion.
Anybody else okay with it? Brother Ethan? Is everybody okay with it? Yes, make a motion.
I move that we match it
from
the general fund.
Brother Bill, Brother Jim, motion. Second. Brother Bill Spencer, all in favor? Any opposed? All right. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your kindness. God, we know this appointed unto us to die. It's part of life. We live and we die. God, a man of God served you for many, many years. There was widows left behind. And I pray, God, that this small token would be appreciation and show kindness to her for her service for all the years she stood by her husband. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll be in Psalms 88 as they come. Just give if you can. If you can't, pray. Psalm 88. Brother Chris, you and Sister Amanda are going to be able to make that tomorrow morning. Would y'all mind delivering it to Sister Vickers? What's her first name?
Darlene.
Darlene Vickers. All right. Well, I'm out of my wheelchair. And I haven't been amputated yet. So, God's good. Good to see you fine folks here. Psalms 88. We're going to read the whole chapter. Y'all can just bring that to Brother Bernie when y'all get done, Brother Mike. He'll get it over there and deacons will write a check for it after a while. All right, let's read the whole chapter real quick. We'll probably spend a couple of days on this one. We might get out by Friday. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Verse 6. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in the darkness of in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintances far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Verse 10. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee, Selah? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or in the, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of the forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They come round about me daily like water. They compass me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and my acquaintance into the darkness. If you have observed while we was reading, you will notice that this is probably one of the most mournfulest psalms you'll ever read. I mean, other psalms are different. They will hit some downhill slides, but there's hope mixed up in there somewhere. But this one here, if you look at it, you study it, and read it out, Barnes' commentary said this: the psalm is altogether of a mournful and desponding character. Adam Clark said the earnest prayer of a person in deep distress, abandoned by his friends, neighbors, and apparently seemingly forsaken of God. Matthew Henry said the Psalms is a lamentation, chapter 88, one of the most mournful and woeful psalms of all. The pulpit commentary said this is the darkest and saddest psalms of all the hymns. If you was to read again, I'm not going to read it again. Now that you have that in your mind, you'll probably notice that. You notice as you read through the other psalms and you study throughout the other book of psalms, like, for instance, if you go up just to Psalms verse 87, his foundation, chapter 87, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I mean, there's hope all in there. This one, it just seems as though it's just a picture of misery. Seldom do you find a passage of Scripture where it seems there's nothing but despair that is there. Now, I know this is a Wednesday night crowd, dear friend. I understand that. I know it's midweek. I know it's the hump day, and we're trying to get over midweek and just slide down into the weekend just so we can get a breath. So I don't want to bring in despair on us. I want you to have a little fuel. I want you to have a little bit of energy to finish out this week. You need to be found faithful and well-doing. And so I'm not here to discourage you with this chapter, but I think with this chapter, as we study it out, we're going to see that though on the top of things, it doesn't look like there's any hope for this person, and maybe some of you have been there. Maybe there's been a time in your life where it just seems like you had been forsaken by all, and it was you alone. But there's something that we need to start off with, we need to take a close look with, is that though the chapter is not full of hope, I believe that it is. I believe if you were to look at the whole situation and remember this. We got to take all the biblical truths that we know and we've learned of God, we've learned about sin, we've learned about self, and we read these big biblical truths and we see these things through here. But, you know, why is the commentaries I looked at and showed and said, this is very mournful, I mean, it's just like a sad commentary here of Scripture. I think if you study it and look at it, you'll see hope. And you'll see joy, and you'll see strength, and you'll see, you know, you'll see the daylight that's coming through. Like with verse 1, if you'll notice there, it says, O Lord, God of my salvation. O Lord, God of my salvation. I mean, if you look at the language there, you have understanding that here's a person that understands that there is a God in heaven and that either he's in need of salvation, you know, spiritually speaking, or he's in need of repentance and he's off in a backslidden state. Now, as I look at this, I'm going to try to point this out and go through it with you for a little bit. I'm not sure we'll finish all the way through tonight this whole chapter as we begin to look at it. But as we study it, it does seem like an unpleasant chapter. And it does seem like that there is a mournful thing here. I mean, he says, verse 2, let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of trouble. Now, when the facts are laid out, when we look at this chapter, we don't know much about it. We really don't. We don't, you know, what's going on? What's the psalmist writing about? In my Bible, I don't know about yours, but in my Bible, it's got little titles above the psalms. It says a song for the sons of Korah to the chief musician upon Melethim, Lindoff, Mitchell of Himmon, and Elizite. So if you look at that, okay, that's just a you know, like a heading there that tells us who's kind of responsible, what's going on here. But you go search out the Bible and you ferret through Scripture, it don't tell us much about those men. If you go to 1 Chronicles, look over in 1 Chronicles, verse 6. First Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 33. First Chronicles 6 verse 33. And these are they that waited with their children of the sons of Kohathites, Heman, a singer, the son of Joel, the son of Shemuel. So Heman there up top. Look at chapter 15 and verse 17, the same of 1 Chronicles. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and his brethren, Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and the sons of Miriah, their brethren, Ethan, the sons of Cushiah. It gives you part of the family history here and part of their job. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Second Chronicles chapter 20, let's see, verse 19 there. And the Levites and the children of Kohathites and the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. So the children of Korah, these people was around the things of God. They were part of, you know, what was going on around the temple there. Look in chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 29. And verse number 14. And the sons of Heman, Jael, Shema, and the sons of Jebeth, Shemuel, and Uziel. Look down at verse number 30. Verse 30. Moreover, Hezekiah, the king of the princes, commanded the Levites to praise unto the Lord of the words of David and Asaph the seer. And they sang and praised gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. So it gives us some information. I mean, that little top headline tells us about several different men there that we can look over and we can find them in Scripture. But I'm telling you, dear friends, that just fails to give me some specific insights of what would help us to understand Psalms chapter number 28. As we look at this, I mean, that's good information. I'm glad we're a lot smarter about all those men over there. But I want to know what the world would cause somebody to be in such despair. There's something here. Now, I'm going to tell you personally, when you have these men and have their jobs, I mean, one of them, he was a seer over there. The other one was in charge of singing and praising and worshiping God around the temple area there. These are folks, I believe, dear friend, that knows God. And so as they're writing this psalm, a psalm here, they're writing, I believe they're writing in view in view of a backslider's heart. I believe that this is somebody that knew God and was familiar with God and had, you know, he says in verse number 1, O Lord God of my salvation, I cried day and night before thee. I mean, he talks about the deity of God there. Lord of my salvation. His salvation is from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, in the Old Testament, they look forward to the cross of Calvary and what would take place by faith. They look forward by faith. We look back at the cross and accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So as I look at this, I'm going to go at it at that angle and see, if in fact, I mean, verse 3 says, for my soul is full of troubles. My soul is full of troubles. And this expression, I mean, there's no complaint about some physical ailment. There's no complaint about being left, forsaken financially or no financial burden. It's just my soul is full of trouble. So there's no direct evidence here in this scripture that there was some kind of injustice that may have took place. But it points to some internal. You know, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. I'm going to tell you in my own personal life, I've told you this time and time again, dear friend, that the Holy Spirit of God is the worst bed partner you could ever desire to have when you've sinned against God. He's there to get you awoke. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that He chastens those whom He loves.
Amen.
You know, so as I look at this and we study it, the immediate thing I think about, for my soul is full of trouble. I'm talking about inner. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Free among the dead. Now, as we talking about this and we're looking at this, you know, and we see this situation that's there, what is it that would cause somebody's soul to be full of trouble, yet free among the dead? Listen, I'm telling you something, dear friend. When you're among the dead, you're not really free. You're not. See, you were dead in trespasses and sin. But when you're born again, dear friend, When you've trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, as we look at this, the thing that I see here that would cause somebody's their soul to be full of trouble, my life draweth nigh unto the grave, dear friend, I'm talking about sin right now in the life of God's person, God's man, God's woman, the child of God. I'm not talking about an illness. I'm talking about something right here. What I'm seeing is here, O Lord, my God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of trouble. The way of the transgressor is hard. Look at verse 7. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways. Selah. Huh. Look over in Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, and who holdeth the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 6. Colossians 3, verse 6. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Huh. Listen, dear friend, if you're suffering from some physical ailment, I'm telling you, I got one right now. My soul ain't troubled. My body hurts. But when I get contrary to the ways of God, and I start walking contrary to Scripture, I start getting out there on my own, doing my own little thing, I'm going to tell you, my soul is troubled. So when I'm looking at this, I'm looking at it at an angle that this is somebody that's wrestling with personal sin. This is the way I'm looking at it. I'm trying to see it here. Look at verse number 14. Verse 14 and back in Psalms 88. You might as well hold your place there. We're going to be flopping all around this here. Listen to what it says. Psalms 14. Lord, wait a minute. Why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thy face from me? That's something. Lord. All right, look over in Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1. Verse 13. Habakkuk chapter 1. Verse 13. Listen to what it says. Thou art of purer eyes. This is talking about God. Well, how do we know that? Verse 12 teaches us that. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? And then verse 13, it goes on and says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look upon iniquity. Back over in Psalms 88, verse 14. Lord, why cast thou off my soul? Why hidest thy face from me? Look in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have he hid his face from you, and he will not hear. So when I'm looking at this here chapter, I'm not looking at somebody that's got some kind of, you know, sore in their back, been had speared through with a javelin. I'm not looking at somebody that lost everything because, you know, a whirlwind came through and tore their garden up and slung all their sheep up against the mountain, and now they got just splattered sheep everywhere. When I look at this, I'm looking at somebody that knew God, that to say God of my salvation, that would refer to him as Lord. But there's something that they've done got involved in, dear friend, that God has done turned his back on. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we live in grace. Praise God for it. I am so thankful for grace. But we've got to be careful as God's children that we are vessels of honor and not vessels of dishonor. And he comes, you know, walking by our life and then, you know, checks us out and says, man, this ain't good. And the Lord looks around and says, let me prune around a year. Just give me a chance. Listen, God's working on us. But even in the time of Noah, dear friend, the Spirit of God only strived with man 120 years. And then all of a sudden, let's build that ark. Now this is a psalm, dear friend. I'm telling you, it seems woeful. I mean, it does. That God, listen, dear friend, I'm going to tell you something. God loves you. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We might spend eternity with him, that we might have life and have life more abundant. He loved us so much that after he saved our sorry selves, he moved in and lives within. He didn't have to do it that way. Do you understand the whole Old Testament? The Holy Spirit of God didn't indwell nobody. But God chose it this way. Jesus said, I must go away. The Spirit must come, the Comforter, that he may be. And what's he going to do? He's going to reprove us of sin. He's going to bring remembrance to and witness of Jesus in our life.
Amen.
I'm looking at this psalm and saying, wow. These guys was praises and praise leaders, you might say, in the Old Testament. Praise and worship team leaders that they have running around here right now. They were seers. I mean, they prophesied what would go on and down the road. They were seers. They could interpret Scripture and say, this is what God's saying. But then all of a sudden, they're writing this psalm from a personal experience, dear friend. Now, I'm going to quit right here tonight because we're at 4 minutes to go. But this is what I'm going to quit on. We're going to pick this back up next week. Aren't you thankful that they knew where to run to in the midst of their sin? I ain't never in my life seen a bunch of folks that get off into sin and get mad at God about it. But you made that choice, dear friend. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But don't get so blind in your sin that you will not run to God. I mean, I don't know at what stage of repentance this psalmist was at. I do know this. He realized he was in a place of despair. And he said, oh, Lord God of my salvation. Kind of reminded me a little bit of the prodigal son. The prodigal son came to himself and said, in my father's house. Listen, sin will take you a whole lot further than you ever want to go. It's going to keep you longer than you ever thought you'd want to stay. It's going to cost you a whole lot more than you ever wanted to pay. Tell you, dear friend, God will hide his face from the sinner. So I'm looking at this in light of, I believe, this psalmist had gotten backslid as we look through it. So that's a thought. But he understood, this is amazing. He understood God was still God in the midst of his backslidden state. And he ran back to God. Run back to God. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed. We're going to stop right there. I'm looking at despair, no hope, but yet I'm seeing God at work. Conviction all over this person, realizing that their ways are not good ways.